Thanks for listening to this OCRFM podcast. Head to ocrfm.org.au to find more great content and information about how to donate and support this community radio station. Lollipop, lollipop, ooh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop.
Thinking of you, smoking up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Skyline rockets in flight. Oh, afternoon delight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Good afternoon, delight, and welcome to the show that is sugary spiceness and everything niceness on OCRFM, 98.3 across Colican District, 88.7 FM along the coast, and streaming online at ocrfm.org.au.
Yep.
Howdy, Max.
G'day.
Welcome back.
Yep.
We're pretty much end of the month. We've got a couple of days up our sleeve before turn over the calendar page, but that means it is the final weekend of Take It April here at OCRFM.
Yeah.
It's been a busy one. I've struggled a bit more going back to school. Like, the school holidays was easy enough for me to get around and visit different places to share the OCRFM logo. But, I don't know, when you're in the classroom from, like, 8 in the morning until 5 in the evening, it's hard to get good daylight to take photos of the logo out and about. But congratulations to all the other presenters who've taken on a challenge this year. Lots of variety out there. Braden's been making an animal costume. Rosemary has been doing a karaoke challenge. Tyson's been knitting away. And Francois has been practicing guitar for half an hour. He could nearly do a symphony for us. And Felicity, I take my hat off. I've done an eating challenge for Take It April before, where I had to eat a different meal from around the world. She has done an incredible job working on a budget of $6.50 a day.
Wow.
All month. So, yeah, well done, as I say, to everyone who's taken part in the Take It April challenge this year. But, yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. You can still donate on the OCRFM website. If you head there, there's a pop-up page for Take It April. Every single cent you pledge helps to keep OCRFM broadcasting, because this is 100% volunteer-based. None of the cash goes to any of the volunteers, but it does help to keep the lights on, so to speak, or keep the licenses paid and the broadcasting to happen.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone who has donated throughout the month. There's a couple of days left, and all the details are at ocrfm.org.au. But let's get this here show on the road, shall we, and find out what's new on the shelf. What's new, Pussycat? Okay, it is time, finally. Now, I hope I haven't been building this up too much in your mind, Max. No. We have tracked down some polywaffle bites.
Yeah.
Well, I say we. I've been hunting high and low, but your mum sent me a message. She found these in a service station on the way back.
Yeah.
From where she was travelling. I'd been hunting in all the supermarkets in Melbourne while I was at the Comedy Festival. Couldn't find them. I checked all the local supermarkets here. No, they're not due for another couple of weeks. But, yeah, anywho, we found them. So, yeah. Men's have been working on these for quite a while now. Went into lockdown and there was a bit of a hold-up. They were originally trying to replicate the original polywaffle bar, which, as we've described on the show, was a wafer tube that had a marshmallow inside and then chocolate on the outside.
Yeah.
And it was renowned for being used as a joke, floating in the pool, looking like someone had done a poo.
Yeah.
That isn't the only thing that it's remembered for. It's got quite nostalgia attached to it because it was just such a unique combination. There's no other waffle marshmallow chocolate bars out there.
Yeah.
So, Men's have come up with Polly Waffle Bites.
Yep.
Which, again, as I say, I don't want to build this up to be too big a thing that we then get disappointed. So it's not going to be like the exact Polly Waffle, but it's based on the Polly Waffle. So, yep. What have they made in these bites?
They're round, sort of like Malteser
size. Yep.
Balls.
Mm-hmm. So it's milk chocolate and wafer coated marshmallow. So it's a marshmallow center.
Yep.
Like the Polly Waffle, but then the outer layer is chocolate and crushed wafer by the look of it.
Okay.
So, their little blurb says, share these bite-sized pieces of the delicious, unique flavour combo of milk chocolate, crunchy wafer, and vanilla marshmallow that's been an Australian favourite since 1947. So, serving size suggestion is 5 pieces. Which yep. isn't too bad for the size that they are. It's got the influence of the original Polly Waffle packaging, so it's got the kind of purple and orange and gold cross-stitch pattern, a little bit tartan-looking.
Yeah.
Okay, from the outside, what's your thoughts?
Looks like a Malteser, basically.
Yep. Okay, well, here is the moment of truth. Have a bite on that. Let me know what your thought is of the Polly Waffle bite. Does it have the crunch R factor?
It does have a crunch.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty good.
Okay. Now, I know it's not the actual Polly Waffle itself, but having those little pieces of wafer,
yeah,
is a pretty good substitute. Because I'm assuming the wafer is what would have halted the production of trying to make the original bar again. Because they've managed to make the soft, fluffy interior a bit marshmallow flush, actually, like we had on the show last week.
Yeah.
It's a light chocolate taste.
Yeah.
The wafer gives it that crunchy texture.
Yeah. Then it has the vanilla marshmallow giving it like a chewy.
Mmm. And a real texture. Sweet hit at the start. Like, yeah, it is a mishmash of, like, the marshmallow takes a bit to dissolve in your mouth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the wafer pieces give it that crunch, the gooiness of the marshmallow.
Yeah.
I know it's probably not going to hit all the nostalgia buttons for some people, but I'm actually really impressed with this.
Yeah.
I was worried that we'd hype this up too much, but I think there will be a new generation of people that will appreciate what Men's have done here to create these Polly Waffle bites.
Yeah.
It's never going to be exactly the same as the Polly Waffle.
Yeah.
But it's pretty dang close, particularly for the bite-sized creation.
Yeah.
After talking about it so long, what's your thoughts?
They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In comparison to other bite-sized treats that we've had on the show?
Yeah, I reckon they're one of the best.
Mm. It is such a unique combination. Yeah. Do you see what I've been trying to explain on all these shows over the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 years?
Yeah.
That it's such a unique combination, the marshmallow wafer chocolate.
Yeah.
So as sad as it is they haven't been able to make the Polly Waffle bar itself, I think this very much is the next best thing.
Yeah.
Out of 2 thumbs?
I reckon 2.
Yeah. I think they've definitely hit the mark here. So that is Polywaffle Bites. We made it. Well done to Men's on all their hard work in getting this back on the shelf, and to all those that campaigned out there to restore the Polywaffle to its former glory.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this to check out the history of this week's topic. Time on Afternoon Delight for us to take a look at this week's topic, which is Ovaltine, Max.
Yeah.
What do you know about Ovaltine?
It's like a protein shake stuff.
Yeah, kind of. I think of it a little bit like Milo.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a malted milk drink.
Yep.
Of sorts. But did you know it is also known by its original name, Ovomotine?
Oh, okay.
And we'll find out why in a moment. So, yeah, flavoured milk product, malt extract, similar to Milo,
yeah.
That was developed by a chemist in 1904 in Switzerland. His name was Albert Wander. But the original name for Ovaltine was Ovum Altine, which comes from ovum, the latter word for egg,
yeah.
And malt, which were originally its two ingredients. Makes sense.
Yeah.
In 1927, the factory moved out to the village of Nuneg, a short distance west of Bern, where it is still produced. Ovaltine was exported to Britain as Ovaltine instead of Ovomaltine in 1909. A factory was built in Kings Langley, which took it to the United States.
Yeah.
And then by 1915, it was being manufactured in Illinois, in the US market. Ovaltine was later manufactured in Peterborough, Ontario, and that was distributed further on to Canada. Gerald Ethelbert Goldsmith, who was the president of the Ovaltine Food at the time, opened the second largest factory in Devonport, Tasmania, for the Australasian and Southeast Asian markets in 1943.
Cool.
So we've had it for a while. So, originally advertised as consisting solely of malt, milk, eggs flavoured with cocoa, the formulation has changed over the decades, with several formulations sold in different parts of the world. In India and the UK, it no longer contains any egg product at all. They also have a choc malt version in powder, which can be mixed with hot or cold milk. Malt Ovaltine is a version that has no cocoa in it. And rich chocolate Ovaltine is a version that doesn't have any malt in it, are also available. It has been available in the form of chocolate bars, chocolate Easter eggs, parfaits, cookies, and Ovaltine breakfast cereals as well. In 1992, the Himmel Group obtained the right to make and sell Ovaltine in the US, taking over from Sandoz Nutrition. But in 2002, they sold their rights to Novartis, and as of 2007, Nestle acquired Novartis, so therefore they have the right to Ovaltine.
Yeah.
But yeah, very different products that Ovaltine has been associated with. They have little Tetra Pak cartons for cold serves, which you can get in shops and supermarkets and the like, which is pre-made Ovaltine in milk.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like your Big M style sort yep. of stuff. Mainly sold in the Asian market. So Malaysia, Japan have those pre-made Ovaltines. In Australia, we have Ovaltinis. So they are round tablets of compressed Ovaltine, which is eaten as a lolly. Apparently quite popular here in Australia. I don't remember seeing anyone with them in their lunchbox growing up.
Yeah.
And I've never heard anyone really talk about them. But considering they're still on the shelf, they must be popular enough that people still buy them.
Yeah.
The Ovaltinis were changed to an oval shape during the early 2000s, considering their name. however, popular demand led to the sweets production reverting to their original circular shape. So they are... Ovaltinis, which are circular, so they should be called round teenies or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not egg-shaped at all. In the US children's radio series of Little Orphan Annie and Captain Midnight, they were sponsored by Ovaltine, so they would have promotions throughout the radio broadcast where listeners would save their receipts or their proof of purchase from the Ovaltine jars to obtain a radio premium, such as a decoder ring or a badge or a pin that could be used to decode messages throughout their radio program. So you'd listen in, hear the secret code, and then use your spy ring to decode what's being said on the radio.
Cool.
In the movie Young Frankenstein, which is a comedy film from Mel Brooks, starring Gene Wilder as Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein asks if he wants some Ovaltine after he's already declined an offer of brandy and then has a warm milk before going to bed. So, yeah, this is apparently the drink of choice for Dr. Frankenstein. So, yeah, similar sort of drinks on the market would be Milo, in my opinion. To a certain degree, Nesquik, although that's a much more fine powder that's been processed. Activite is a chocolate-flavoured one that's a bit similar. Or any kind of malted milk. Now, we'll have a quick break, and then we're going to take a look at some of the different flavours here. We've got the Ovaltine drink, but we've also got Ovaltinis, and I have had them before.
Yeah.
I don't want to put in your head any preconceptions about it, but I was, surprised at the different tins of Ovaltine and wonder whether or not they are actually different. Anywho, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this to go head-to-head.
Ladies and gentlemen, strap yourselves in for this week's great confectionery debate as we pit two similar lollies against each other to decide an overall champion.
It is time on Afternoon Delight for us to go head-to-head with Ovaltine in liquid form and Ovaltine in solid form.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what we're doing here. Now, the tin that we've got is just the basic Ovaltine mix. It's a 415-gram container. It says Ovaltine, lasting energy, low GI, source of protein, 8 vitamins and minerals. You can kind of hear it shake around the tin there. Now, serving size says place 3 heaped teaspoons of Ovaltine in a glass of skim milk and stir. So it doesn't say whether to have it heated or cold. We're having it cold.
Yep.
Apparently that will give you 20 serves, roughly. What have we got? We're looking at per 100 grams, 18 grams of sugar. No, 44 grams of sugar, sorry.
All right.
18 was the sodium. But it breaks down all the vitamins and stuff in there as well, which is interesting. How would you describe the powder?
It's, like a cocoa-y, dark, brown, thick powder.
Yeah, it's odd. Like, I'm so used to Milo being that crunchy, chunky. This is a lot finer, but at the same time, it's also kind of chunky.
Yeah.
It reminds me of kind of ground-up minerals and rocks.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever seen rock dust, but like in a brown version. And, stirring it in as best we can, it's still got quite a few lumps and bumps to it.
Yeah.
It's different to just straight cocoa, though.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It has a rocky consistency is the best description I can come up with. Now, do we want to go with the liquid version first, or do you want to have the solid Ovaltine?
I reckon liquid version.
Probably. Liquid version first? Okay.
Yeah.
So, we've stirred in our 3 heaped teaspoons. Not quite the same as a Milo spoon, which is a ladle. But down the hatch, let me know what you think of your Ovaltine.
It's definitely a cocoa drink.
Mm. Yeah, it's cocoa-y as opposed to chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes really, really cocoa-y.
Yep.
Very strong cocoa flavour.
Yeah.
Quite crunchy, because not all the flavour kind of melts when you stir it in.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it does when it's in warm form, but just to be fair for the head-to-head, we've just gone cold milk.
It definitely doesn't taste as good as Milo.
I know. I didn't want to say that out loud, but yeah. If we were going head-to-head against Milo, Milo would definitely be the front contender for me as well.
Yeah. But yeah, all I can say is that it's definitely a cocoa drink.
Yeah, so chocolatey.
Yeah.
It's almost like eating crunchy Big M.
Yeah.
Or putting too much Nesquik in.
Yeah.
Because it tastes too much like hot cocoa without the chocolatiness.
Yeah.
Whatever word I'm trying to say, of cocoa. It tastes like dark chocolate hot cocoa. That's what I'm going for. There we go.
Yeah.
It's a dark chocolate flavour. I don't know if that means that there's more chocolate to the malt in the ingredients list, perhaps. So it's barley and malt extract, 35%. Cocoa minerals. It doesn't say what the percentage of the cocoa is, unfortunately. But you definitely taste it.
Yeah.
It tastes more chocolatey than Milo, but that's a bad thing in this case. Okay, so Ovaltines, or Ovaltinis.
Yep.
They have little anthropomorphic Ovaltini characters on the outside of the orange packaging. So you've got Brainy Bob, who is an Ovaltini wearing a backwards cap, but he's also using a flask and, what do they call those things? Not a beaker. Test tube.
Yeah.
Therefore, he must be sciencey. He is Brainy Bob.
Yeah.
Basket Barney is wearing sports shoes and playing with a basketball.
Yeah.
Scooter Scott and Laptop Larry and Roger Dodger. Some of the different characters. So they're hyping up the no artificial colours, preservatives. It says, great taste, make every lunchbox fun. We'll be the judge of that. sugar, glucose, solids, barley and malt extract. Only 13%, interesting. 9% cocoa powder. So on the Ovaltinis, they list the percentage of molten chocolatey flavours. So it'll be interesting to see if it tastes more or less like its liquid counterpart or the powder that goes into the liquid.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to know if the Ovaltine breakfast cereal ever tasted like this as well. Okay, so it comes in a little square packet.
Yep. They're like snack-sized packets.
Mm-hmm. But what comes out of them, they look too much like a tablet.
Yeah, they do. The round tablet-looking things.
Yep.
Some of them are... I've got three in my hand.
Yep.
Two of them are just plain brown tablet thingies.
Yeah.
And one of them has an X imprinted on the top of them.
Oh, now, do you know why that is the case?
I got no idea.
So, then you can play with your friends.
Ah.
Noughts and crosses.
That makes sense.
I believe... Oh, hang on, no. I've got other letters. I've got X, P, L. Maybe not. I thought it was so that you could play noughts and crosses, but maybe that's another lunchtime treat I'm thinking of. I've got lots of...
Oh, yeah.
X, L, S, M, N. It doesn't spell out Ovaltine. I wonder if you meant to try and compose the alphabet out of your Ovaltinis.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was going to be... Because I know there are biscuits and lollies and stuff that are noughts and crosses that you're meant to play with your food, so to speak.
Yeah.
I don't actually know the answer to that.
Learn the alphabet while you're eating your Ovaltinis.
Well, yeah. I'm not quite sure why. But yeah, they look very much like a tablet that you would take for medication.
Yeah.
I can't see how this is meant to be making lunch fun. chewing down on them?
You can't really taste much until you get it into like a fine powder.
Mm. Yeah, the outside tastes nothing. It's only when you chew down on them real hard. Oh, gosh. They are hard on the outside.
Yeah.
They're a solid chew. It's like a chocolate biscuit, but there's not much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wanted to get the same consistency of a chocolate biscuit, you'd need to eat 5 or 6 at once.
Yeah.
Do you think this would make your lunchbox fun?
I don't know how fun it would make it, but I would definitely take it to school.
It's not as bad as I remember. I have had Ovaltinis before, and I remember them just tasting dry and compressed. But maybe they've updated them since last I ate them.
Yeah.
That said, they did have the cereal for a while there. I wonder what these would be like if you put them in milk. Floating on the top.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
But they're making my fingers sticky.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was just from mixing the milk and then
maybe
holding them. Like,
no, these are just dry and crunchy for me.
Yeah.
Okay, powder versus Ovaltinis. What's your verdict?
I reckon that Ovaltinis.
Because, yeah, okay.
I can take them for school lunches and all that.
Yep. But, yeah, they're kind of your tiny teddy packet sized.
Mm-hmm.
And there does seem to be a lot for such a small packet. Like, when you think of everything else being downsized, there's at least, 20 or 30 Ovaltinis in the pack?
Yeah. A whole alphabet worth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 15 grand little containers. I'm actually, like, as strong and chocolatey as it was, I'm going with the powder in a drink.
Yep.
Just because the crunchy, chewy Ovaltine stuff, to me, feels like it would be better served as a liquid. The intensity of the cocoa is just too much for me in the Ovaltine-y form.
Yep.
Just in the tablet. That said, though, can buy Ovaltine in different tins, and I'm not sure if they are just a marketing ploy, but there's Ovaltine Lasting Energy, Ovaltine Sleep Calming Chocolate Flavour, apparently rich in magnesium, and then Ovaltine Light Break, 99% fat-free. Would that not depend on what you pour it into?
Yeah.
Because if you had full fat milk, is it still 99% fat free?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anywho, so I'm going the drink version. You're saying Ovaltinis.
Yep.
We'll post that up on the Afternoon Delight Facebook page. See what people think. If you're a fan of the Ovo, whether it be Ovaltines or the Ovaltinis, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Time and Afternoon Delight to take a look at our sweetest tune, or take a listen, I should say, to our sweetest tune for this week. Now, we came across an old Ovaltine ad from the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And as many advertising agencies do, they borrowed heavily from a song and reinterpreted it to sell their product. So they made We Are the Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weenie Ovaltinis.
Yep.
Now, are you aware of the original song that they have blatantly ripped off?
Yep.
It's a tongue twister. Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weenie Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Yep.
A novelty song written by Paul Vance and Lee Pockris, first released in 1960 by Brian Hyland. And it reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100, selling 1 million copies worldwide. It was adapted into different markets, but it basically tells the story of a young lady too afraid to leave the locker room because she's changed into her bikini. She then makes it to the beach and is wrapped in a blanket and finally goes to the ocean, but is too afraid to come out and starts to turn blue in the water because, she's embarrassed about how small her bikini is. So at the time when this was released, bathing suits were still quite risque if they, showed too much flesh.
Yeah.
So when this song came out, all of a sudden bikini sales went through the roof. It's being credited as one of the earliest contributors to the acceptance of bikinis in society. And then from there on, there was a heap of surf movies that came out that made bikini kind of acceptable in modern society.
Yep.
So here it is. This is our sweetest tune this week, Brian Hyland with Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was afraid that somebody would say,
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, so in the locker she wanted to stay.
2, 3, 4, stick around, we'll tell you more.
She was afraid to come out in the open, and so a blanket around her she wore. She was afraid to come out in the open, and so she sat bundled up on the shore.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, so in the blanket she wanted to stay.
2, 3, 4, stick around, we'll tell you more.
Now she's afraid to come out of the water, and I wonder what she's gonna do. Now she's afraid to come out of the water, and the poor little girl's turning blue.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, so in the locker she wanted to stay.
From the locker to the blanket, from the blanket to the shore, from the shore to the water,
guess there isn't.
That there is our sweetest tune, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, as performed by Brian Hyland. Apparently the B-side to that one was called Don't Dilly Dally, Sally. He obviously had a bit of a thing for rhyming tunes.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that we came across while we were, looking for Ovaltine-themed songs, is the origin of the Ovaltini Club. So they were founded back in 1935 and had their own radio show. So we said before that Captain Midnight and the Little Orphan Annie radio show were sponsored by Ovaltinis. But the Ovaltini concert party on Radio Luxembourg was originally sponsored by Ovaltine.
Oh, yeah.
So they had 5 million members of the club by 1939. It was a time when few people had television, so the radio was the go-to medium for an audience.
Yeah.
It was broadcast on Sunday evenings between 5:30 p.m. and 6 on longwave transmissions. And throughout the UK, people would sing along to the We Are the Ovaltinis theme tune. Members of the club would receive a badge, a book, and a chance to take part in competitions and other activities. There was a weekly comic. And do you want to have a listen to the Ovaltinis theme song?
Sure.
Here it is.
We are the Ovaltinis, little girls and boys. Make your request, we'll not refuse you. We are here just to amuse you. Would you like a song or story? Will you share our joys? At games and sports, we're more than keen. No merrier children could be seen. Because we all drink Ovaltine, we're happy girls and boys. We are the Ovaltinies, little girls and boys. Make your request, we'll not refuse you. We are here just to amuse you. Would you like a song or story? Will you share our joys? At games and sports, we're more than keen. No merrier children could be seen. Because we all drink Ovaltine, we're happy girls and boys.
There you go. Are you a happy girl and boy because you drink your Ovaltine?
Yeah.
It's kind of got Vegemite vibes. We are happy little Vegemites.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they would sing that to introduce the radio show and then sing it again, a different kind of version, to bid you adieu. We're not out of here, though. We'll be back with more Afternoon Delight right after this break.
Something up with me.
Time for a recipe on Afternoon Delight, Max. So, what have we got this week?
Ovaltine cake.
Okie dokie. Now, this doesn't look too bad. It's something that I might try myself.
Yeah.
What do we need?
170 grams of self-raising flour, 85 grams of sugar, 42 grams of raisins, 44 mil of Ovaltine, 1/4 mil of salt, 2.5 mil of bicarbonate soda, and 236 mil of milk.
Very, very specific because the metric measurements have been converted from US. So yeah. How do we go about baking this here cake?
Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Sieve flour, salt and baking soda together. Stir in the Ovaltine and raisins. Fold the milk in gently until completely combined. Pour into a lightly greased loaf tin. Cook for approximately an hour. Test with a skewer and leave to cool slightly in the tin before serving, and can be frozen in slices when cold and toasted to defrost.
I have seen that done before where people make cakes, slice them up, freeze them and then toast them, similar to toasting like a hot cross bun.
Yeah.
So we'll pop that up on the Afternoon Delight Facebook page to have a go at, if you like, making your very own Ovaltine cake. Maybe you could, I don't know, crush up some Ovaltinis to go through it as well. Let's have a look at what we should bring back to the lolly shelf.
Let the world see what you have got. Bring it all back to you.
Bring it all back now.
Radio Max, up on the Afternoon Delight Facebook page each week, we ask folks to let us know what doesn't exist anymore on the lolly shelf that you desperately want to see again.
Yeah.
Whether it is something that Max hasn't even lived through, like the Polly Waffle. It is a pinned post up on the top of the Afternoon Delight Facebook page, and you can let us know what you think should make a comeback. So, having a bit of a sift through the comments there, there's one that sticks out to me as very memorable indeed.
Yeah.
Now, you are aware of Red Rippers,
yeah,
formerly known as Redskins. There was a similar style of kind of toffee or taffy that was called a toffee apple. So it had a red base and then a green layer as well. So Paula has posted up on the Afternoon Delight Facebook page, the toffee apple bar is something that should definitely come back. And I am definitely in agreeance because these things were incredible. Now, have you had a toffee apple bar before, Max?
Not that I know of.
So, Toffee Apple itself, have you tried those before?
Yeah.
So, you're familiar with the concept.
Yeah.
But these were so good. These were like, we had a small canteen at our school, and I do remember having these as a kid. They were very chewy. Yeah. As I say, similar to a Redskin, but they had kind of two layers to them.
Yeah.
Both of them being kind of red apple, green apple, I'm assuming was the concept behind them. But they were very chewy, and they were juicy as well. The packaging for them was a picture of an actual toffee apple. So it was kind of a green apple with toffee that had been drizzled over with an anthropomorphic face.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do remember these from my childhood being the go-to at the school canteen.
Yeah.
How does that sound for you? Is it something that you would like to see on the shelf?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. The Wonka range did do a short run back when Wonka was a thing. I was really hoping with the new Willy Wonka movie that came out that they might relaunch the Wonka brand, but it hasn't happened yet. There are similar toffee apple chew bars that are on the market that you can get. They're not the same as the original ones from the late 90s that Paula was talking about in the comments. Yep. But we'll pop it up on the Afternoon Delight Facebook page. Let us know if you have memories of the toffee apple bar, because my oh my do I. They were super chewy, super delicious, and if there is anyone out there in listening land that can make it happen, it would be so good to have the toffee apple chews. Mark McCallum also was on the Facebook page saying, apple chews. Now, they're a different one. He said they were like minties, but apple flavour. But, yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of the toffee apple bar.
Yeah.
We're almost out of show time. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap it all up by unwrapping the Kinder Surprise. Kinder. It is time to open up this week's Kinder Surprise. What have we got inside there, Max?
Clean break this week again.
Nice work. It sounds kind of putty together-y. Oh, only that's two pieces. Easy.
And it was basically put together.
Already.
Yeah.
So two half-formed brown plastic pieces, which has created a
hippo.
Yeah, with an opening and closing mouth.
Yep. Pretty easy.
Very much so. No stickers or anything to zhuzh it up?
Nah.
Oh.
Just the two pieces.
That's a little bit underwhelming. It you know, they are horrifyingly dangerous, hippopotamuses. Like, you think of them as quite serene, you know, water-dwelling mammals or whatever the case may be, just loping around in the mud, but they're apparently even more dangerous than lions, tigers, and bears combined, because they've got these huge crushing jaws, which I'm going to, when I take the photo here, hang on, if you want to hold that up again. So Max is holding it up, and it is eating his finger. That'll go up on the Afternoon Delight Facebook page. Let's have a quick squiz at the Afternoon Delight Facebook page. Last week, we were looking at the bizarre American combination that was marshmallow fluff.
Yeah.
And we didn't get too much feedback on that one. I was expecting, I don't know, maybe outrage at a sugary confection like that, but no. None of our American listeners really chimed in to say that we were crazy for not liking it. But we did get a bit of love for the Fluffer Nutter Marshmallow Peanut Butter sandwiches that we suggested from the recipes there.
Yeah, I actually had one of them on Monday at school.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How did it go?
Can't have the sandwich sitting up on its side in your bag in a container.
Oh, no.
Because the marshmallow fluff seeps out of the sandwich, oh, covering your container.
Oh, was it just the lunchbox, or did it get anywhere else?
Nah, thankfully it didn't get out of the lunchbox.
Oh, yuck. Because the peanut butter would have held up.
Yeah, the peanut butter was fine. It was just there was no marshmallow left in the sandwich. Oh. It was on the outside, but not in it.
Yuck. That is disgusting. Oh, no. Oh, man. What else did we have up on the Facebook page? Oh, our What's New last week. We were looking at the new Cadbury Old Gold Brandy Snap.
Yep.
Now, we did like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, listeners don't. Kathy says, yuck, don't like brandy snaps or dark chocolate. Give me a Milky Bar any day. Come to think of it, give me any other chocolate any other time of day. But, yeah, not a fan. So there you go. If you want to join in the conversation, you can jump on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Which is where you can find anything and everything that we talk about here on the show, and you can make suggestions for things you'd like to see on the show in the future, whether it be a sweet treat or something you'd like to see back on the lolly shelf. Thanks to everyone who has been commenting on the page and the different things that we've been featuring. And just a reminder that it is the final weekend of Take It April. So, again, congratulations to all our, what do you call this, competitors, challengers?
Yeah.
We've been doing crazy stuff throughout the month to help fund OCRFM. All the details for that are on the OCRFM Facebook page, but we've been sharing it around on the Afternoon Delight one as well. If you head to ocrfm.org.au, and you can make a pledge to help support the radio station, keep us broadcast and all the good stuff, like this here radio show. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do it. Plain and simple. So thank you very much. We'll be back next week to do it all again from 3. You can join us then. Bye-bye.
See ya.
I'm gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, then you know the night is always gonna be there anyway. Thinking of you's waking up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together makes the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight. So polite, I always thought a fish could not be caught who wouldn't bite. But you got some better wetting than I think I might try nibbling a little afternoon delight. Skyrockets in flight. Sticks and stones together makes the sparks ignite. The thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Skyrockets in flight, oh, afternoon delight.